This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Kusu Chuang, Tan Chung Han, and the top business stories of the day we have in our crosshairs.
the Japanese
automakers not doing so well amidst shifts in the US market, and also not doing well, Snap.
All right, so let's start with Toyota. So they've reported a 21% drop in profit for their fiscal year, which ended in March. This is the second straight annual drop after 3 years of record profits. When you look at the numbers there, essentially what you're seeing is that customers of Toyota, they are shying away from the sedans and perhaps with the likes of SUVs and trucks. That's apparently coming into favor right now.
Yeah, this is all interesting because, you know, we talk about oil prices and what have you, about the energy markets being on the decline for the last 2 or 3 years. It's being manifested in terms of car makers because it wasn't so long ago that the movement towards, you know, more cleaner cars and smaller engines was all the rage. But with oil prices being where they are and have been for the last 2 or 3 years, demand for big trucks and big SUVs and big engine gas guzzlers have just skyrocketed in the US, and it just kind of justifies. It's okay to own a big truck because
it's
gas
cheap.
Is cheap.
Or cheaper. Yeah.
Only the Americans would call it petrol gas, but never, you guys, hon.
What? Here we go again. No, but so you are seeing that kind of sentiment or that kind of shift in consumer demand manifesting itself in Toyota's numbers. So for the first time, they have sold more light trucks more than cars for the first time ever. Now, usually Toyota banks on sedans, right? Cars.
Yeah. The Camry specifically.
And so this year, though, moving forward, the outlook is that, you know, they are still going to expect more downward pressure on your profit growth despite this expected pickup from the Camry, because I believe there's going to be a facelift of sorts for the Camry.
Yeah, the other more automotive-centric reason behind Toyota's decline has been the fact that it has not innovated as fast and have not offered as much by way of accessories than its competitors, whether it's other Japanese or other Korean players, because Toyota has been criticized in the past for not having nice designs, for offering very low spec models for premium prices, essentially, and it's starting to catch up with them.
Oh, but then you've got the CHR model, that's attracting a lot of buzz. So we'll wait and see, if that really translates into an earning boost. But then before you zoom out to the overall, broader industry in the US in terms of auto sales, if we look at Toyota specifically, they are caught in a production dilemma, right? Because there had been talk about them trying to appease President Donald Trump. You know, he singled out Toyota, given the unfair practices that Toyota partakes on, at least unfair in Trump's eyes.
I wonder about how big America is for the Japanese automaker in terms of market share. I mean, aren't they selling?
It's huge.
Aren't they selling to the rest of the world as well? I mean, anywhere in Southeast Asia, you will see Japanese cars galore. And the question is, can they make up the shift in consumer habits in North America by somehow boosting their their take up in Asia?
Can I just give you some numbers, right? Toyota sells more than 300,000 units of the Camry every year in America. In America alone, okay, that is triple the size of Proton's entire annual production. Okay, the biggest selling car in the world and America is the Ford F-150 truck. They sell something like 650,000 units of that truck every single year, and it's been the case for the last 25 years, I think, somewhere along those lines. Mm-hmm. That's the size of the U.S. car market, right?
So, and Asia cannot compare.
Not yet, not yet, because of sheer population numbers and because of sheer size of wallet.
And also, earning power. I mean, cars are significantly cheaper, in the U.S. Heck, my car in college was $1,000 cash. Granted, it was a 14-year-old $1,000. But still, speaking about, and my first car was a Ford. But zooming out to all the other automakers, so you look at Ford, Nissan, GM, General Motors as well. So in April last month, their U.S. sales all declined as well. So after 7 years of growth, seven consecutive years of growth, you are seeing just the broader sales trend to be on the downward decline. So obviously Toyota is caught up in that trend as well. If you look at some of these specific numbers, Nissan sales dropped 1.5%. We already spoke about Toyota. GM's numbers are sales dropping 5.8%. So you see those kind kind of numbers. But on the flip side, though, if you look at Mercedes, they are obviously bucking the trend. So despite that overall slowdown in U.S. auto sales, you look at Mercedes here, Chuang.
In the rarefied atmosphere of luxury cars,
exactly,
there is no such thing as recession.
Mm. And it's like...
There is no such thing as slowdown.
Yeah, because the...
People want the Mercs, they'll go and buy the Mercs.
Because the 1%...
The 1% are impervious.
To those kind of shifts.
Right.
But what does it do for the makers themselves? I mean, does it mean... They don't need to change their strategies.
Well, actually, no. So they are having to adapt their strategies. For example, you know, Mercedes had plunked down a lot of money into electric cars, you know, and more fuel efficient diesel vehicles. But then now that you know you've seen this trend whereby U.S. auto buyers are you know again going towards those gas guzzlers, right? Those trucks, those SUVs. So you know this poses some serious questions about whether or not these investments by the likes of Mercedes, by other automakers, you know, into these more fuel-efficient technologies, whether those investments will be justified in the long run.
Okay, we move on to Snap. Apparently, Snap stock had plunged after their reported IPO expenses ran up a bill of $2.2 billion US dollars. Is that correct? $2.2 billion for expenses around the initial...
No. That's a bit of a misnomer. I don't know who was the journalist that wrote that story. To be shot.
Well, it's $2 billion you know, in expenses. On top of that, you had another $750 million bonus for CEO Evan Spiegel. So you have those numbers, but then the losses, you know, rounding it all up, it's $2.2 billion. Now, Chuang, I'm going to put you on the spot here because you, I believe, are you know a big fan of social media. Are you on Snapchat?
No. Are you mad? Are you start staring bonkers, son? Why? The age limit for Snapchat is 12 years old. Once you hit 12 years old in one day, you got to leave Snapchat.
Really?
No, just joking. But the reason why 25% of Snapchat's market value was lost in a single day was because of these things, okay? Revenue of 150 million dollars missed expectations of 160. Net loss of 2.2 billion US dollars was obviously bigger than anyone expected. Mm-hmm. EPS of $2.31 missed as well. They burned through $173 million of free cash flow, a nearly 70% increase in cash burn from a year ago, right? And they didn't add as many users as people thought.
Yeah. But okay. Nevertheless, you know, they still have, 166 million daily active users. So all these kids running around, they are still posting all these snaps. And apparently, one of our producers as well, you know, is apparently quite active on Snap. Sure. So you read into that what you
were. Child in man's clothing. Sorry. And but, 166 was still lower than expected. 168.
Correct.
So
that's
why you dropped.
I can't get over the $750 million bonus for the CEO. I mean, how is that ever justified?
I think it also boils down to you know this dilemma that we have been talking about, you know, in the lead up to their March 2nd IPO, right? That being shareholders of Snap are not given those voting rights, you know. So with the CEO you know, walking away with that $750 million bonus, you know, looks like their ability to challenge these kind of numbers, you know, might be somewhat limited. However, to be fair, despite that $2.2 billion loss, right? You have these comments from Evan Spiegel, you know, saying that Snap is still in investment mode, right? So we have seen these before, whereby all these, you know, other internet giants, you know, Facebook, Twitter, etc., after their IPO. Once they announce their first earnings post IPO, you see these kind of you know, massive drops in earnings. But I think Chuang, again, not going back to you being a very avid social media user,
just because I just joined Instagram, come on.
No, but that's a good point.
Because it took me years to join Instagram.
Because well, you would know that Instagram has those new stories features, like the video function of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, that is having a part in Snap's
the
decline.
Future is in video, right? Everybody's doing it. Facebook is doing it. Twitter is doing it. Instagram is doing it. Snapchat are doing it. You know, even Sharad Kutin is doing it.
Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, I now feel, having read the story completely, that and learning that Snapchat co-founders lost over $1 billion US dollars each because of that 25%, you know, reduction
in
the
worth,
VAT.
Yeah.
And I feel a bit sad for them. Really?
Yeah.
No.
Possibly,
I don't know how you can come back and face the wife and kids when you've lost $1 billion.
Well, but again, we've been here before because, you know, when you look at, say, Facebook, Twitter, GoPro as well, you know, again, their shares tanked immediately and afterwards. So whether or not they can recover, you know, whether or not shareholders still have faith in the broader Snap growth story, you know, again, keeping in mind they're being challenged by those the copycat features rolled out by Facebook, and Chuang is very much a fan of them, right? The Instagram photos and whatnot. So, you know, whether Snap can really beat that Facebook copycat challenge, I think that's going to be
interesting. Yeah, you know, Chuang, you want to tell people to follow you? This is your moment. Oops, sorry, it's past. We'll be back.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm going to stop taking pictures of you on Instagram.
Okay. We'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.